You know, you put all this work in from January through 8 o'clock Eastern on Saturday, and at 8:17 we kick it off, and you got 60 minutes to go be a champion. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better opportunity.
I think he's one of the best coaches in college football. I don't think he is. He's one of the best coaches in college football, and they're just great people that coach their tails off, and their players are a reflection of their staff.
WGN, Steve Cochran Show, Justin Kaufman, and Steve will be back on Monday. Big weekend, Big Ten Championship in Indianapolis. Dave Ennett will be there. We were talking about he's got a big workload because he's doing the Northwestern basketball broadcast during the day against Indiana in Bloomington.
Well, they were kind enough to move the game. It was supposed to be at 5 o'clock Eastern, which would have butted it up against the football game. But then they moved it back to 1 o'clock Eastern.
So when you're doing two sports on one day, which one do you phone in? Which broadcast do you phone in?
I will give my all for both of those games.
That's what you do. You're a professional.
And, Justin, you got to back that up. Because the football game is the Big Ten Championship, Dave has obligations this evening as well.
Yeah, he's
got to be in
Indianapolis,
celebratory events that he has to attend.
He's complaining already about all the balls.
I have not complained once.
And I like thinking that
I'd like to have this burden every year.
Every year, right.
The NCAA basketball, whoever makes those decisions, they flexed it because Dave Ennett calls both games.
Right.
And they knew Dave Ennett
he's
could not be, not so fans could go to both games, not to make it easier on the administration because of Dave Ennett calling both games.
Somehow I doubt that, Mayor, but thanks for the suggestion.
It has to be great, though. I mean, as someone who's so involved with Northwestern football, to be in a position here in December... Tomorrow will be December, to be relevant and to be in the conversation with the big championship games of the weekend, it's got to be tremendous.
Well, one of the coolest parts of it is that I got, when Northwestern clinched the West, I immediately got texts from my counterparts at Wisconsin, Ohio State, Penn State, and they've all been through it. And so they were all saying, glad you get the chance to go there.
Yeah,
it's really
great.
Cool.
Howard Griffith's joining us now. He is with Big Ten Network, but for many in Chicago, we know him as a Super Bowl champion and a legend, a legendary
Justin,
eight touchdowns in one
Twitter
game.
His Twitter profile says, Big Ten Network analyst, husband, father of two, two-time Super Bowl champ, and an Emmy winner.
You don't even put the Illini eight touchdowns in your Twitter bio?
No, I don't.
Howard, thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing
great.
So, all right, let's start with Northwestern, Ohio State. Tomorrow, of course, Indianapolis, the Big Ten Championship. This game, we talked to Coach Fitz earlier in the show and everything that's important for the football program here at Northwestern. But this game has so many implications when it comes to what's going to happen with the college playoff and the bowl picture.
Oh, absolutely. I think if you look at it from the Northwestern's perspective, this is an opportunity for them to get the purple, as Fitz likes to say, back to Pasadena. So they're still playing for a lot. They're just not showing up in a game and just expect to lose. They've got something on the line that they can win for. And obviously, Ohio State trying to get back into the playoffs, most people would say that they need a dominant performance, which in many cases means they need to score a lot of points. And I'm not quite sure they're going to be able to do that versus this Northwestern defense.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Howard, because we hear a lot about style points. And I would think if you're Ohio State and you keep hearing everybody saying, and I know they did it against Wisconsin in that game, 59-0 or whatever it was a few years ago. But when you constantly hear people saying, well, you need style points.
Yeah,
you're going to have to run up the score. Doesn't that, in a way, put more pressure on Ohio State? Because now they're like, every possession, we got to score.
It's great that you brought that up. Because I equate it with having to take more risk, if that's the way you want to coach the game. And I don't think Urban will coach it that way. I think he has some outstanding coordinators. You look at the offensive side, I think Ryan Day is one of the bright stars that's coming through college football right now. You obviously see what he was able to do versus what many consider one of the best defensive coordinators in all of football at Michigan last week in Don Brown. So he's going to call the game, but I don't think he's going to put this team in a situation where they're pressing. Dwayne Haskins is not that type of a player. He plays within the confines of the game. I think that's why he's going to have an opportunity, if he likes, to move on next year to the National Football League if that's one of the decisions he'd like to make.
Howard, let's make a transition. We talked a lot about the Big Ten Championship game and obviously what's going to happen, but a team near and dear to your family's heart is also looking good right now with a playoff determined already. They're going to be in Notre Dame. What a season for them. And a real bounce back season, because it was, the last couple of seasons you weren't sure where this program was going, and they had quarterback troubles. But now you're in a position where the Notre Dame, the Irish are cemented into the playoffs and a real contender.
Yeah, and you know, I've been thinking about, you know, just the season that they've been going through, even, you know, from a player's perspective and also a parent, and then from a coaching staff as well. They're the one of the few teams, if not the only team in the country, that cannot afford to lose a game, because their goal, their stated goal, is to win national championships. That's the only goal that they have, because they're not in a conference. So the immense pressure that is not only on the coaching staff but on the players to go out and play at a high level each and every week. I remember when I was playing for Denver and we were on a long undefeated streak, and the pressure was just immense for us, and we really got tired of answering those same questions each and every week. Can you run the table? Because that's how you're gonna, that's an opportunity you have. But for us, we could lose a game and still get to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. For Notre Dame, they can't afford to lose a game, because then it becomes a one-loss Notre Dame is probably not going to make it, because they don't have a championship game.
And then they get down 10-0 against USC, but they didn't flinch. I mean, they'd already been through a tight game with Northwestern. Yeah. Everybody predicting doom and gloom against Syracuse at Yankee mm-hmm. Stadium. We saw how that worked out for them. But as you look at the playoff picture now, this narrative seems to be Ohio State needs a win tomorrow over mm-hmm. Northwestern, and they need help. Do you think they're going to get that help, even if they beat Northwestern?
It's going to be hard. I mean, obviously, Oklahoma is the team that most people are comparing them to, and they're trying to say, or they're trying to read into what the committee is saying, and Oklahoma seemingly gets a pass because they're in the Big 12, and they don't have to play great defense, so they can give up 40, 50 points and still be considered a great team because they what they're able to do on the offensive side. And then you look at Ohio State, obviously, last week, the great performance they had, but that's been inconsistent. I don't know that they're going to be able to get that help. They obviously need that help from Oklahoma. There's no telling what happens if you would hate to see, I guess, worst-case scenario, I don't think people want to see Georgia beat Alabama, because now you have two SEC teams that are ultimately going to be in the playoffs. So mm-hmm. that's going to cause a lot of problems. So two SEC teams, and then all you have Notre Dame, there are going to be some conference commissioners and coaches that are going to be huddling up, I would believe, sometime Monday, and trying to figure out how they can fix this, how you can expand, how you can get more teams into the playoffs.
Well, in talking about expansion and the committees and how these decisions are made, then we get the problem of too many games. These kids are playing too many games.
Yeah,
college kids, and then we've got that. Since the college football playoff started, Howard, has there been times where you have not agreed with the who they've decided to go in?
You know, I think there are times you can debate it. Obviously, being here in the Big Ten footprint, you know, we've had a couple opportunities where, you know, the Big Ten champ didn't get in. And that's sometimes frustrating. But to me, the stated goal for me is get the four best teams into the playoffs. And it's obviously conference championships are important, but say one year it's not a strong conference. I just think it's the best thing to do is to get the best four. And there's always going to be some debate. I think one of the interesting challenges is I don't know if most people understand just how much work goes into being a part of the committee. It's a lot of work that goes into it, and we're putting all our trust into people on this committee, and I don't know that you're going to continue as the playoffs and the committees are set up as they are now, if you're going to continue to have the best committee. The best committee probably was the first one, and I think you're going to lose some people. They're going to continue to have quality people on the committee, but I think some people may say, that might be too much work. I don't want to get involved in this. And so I think from that perspective, you wonder if we're going to get the best teams in every year. And I think the other thing you see is the criteria is always going to be a moving target. We try to nail the committee down to okay, this is what they're going to be looking for this year. And it moves each and every year because the teams are different, and they're looking at each team differently each week.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right, so let's go back to the Big Ten game in Indianapolis. What does Northwestern need to do to have a shot at beating Ohio State?
Well, Bowser has to be able to run the ball. And I think the offensive line has really done a tremendous job of building as the year has gone on. And his running game has really stepped up, even when Clayton has struggled sometimes throwing the football. I think Clayton has to have a big game as well, because obviously Ohio State, from my perspective, is going to want to take the running game away. So the wide receivers are going to have to find a way to get open. These are it's a talented backfield that they have as far as the defensive backs are concerned. But what they've had issues with, players in space. And what does Northwestern do? They put players in space. They motion people around. You look at the teams that have had success, teams that spread Ohio State out, get the balls into the ball into the playmakers' hands, then they make plays. And I think on the defensive side, you know, they have to be healthy. They've got to understand that they're going to see those crossing routes that Michigan saw last week. I don't think that they'll have as much success this week as far as the crossing routes are concerned, because Northwestern's going to play zone. They're going to make the adjustments that they need to make, and they're getting healthy on the back end, so I think that's important. Special teams is going to be huge. I think if they can get some success out of special teams, short fields, they have a chance to win the game. I don't think a lot of people believe that Northwestern is going to get blown out. I don't think so at all. This is too good a team that's coached really, really well, and their two coordinators don't get near the credit that they deserve for what Northwestern has been and is right now.
I love it. Great point.
Howard Griffith, an analyst with Big Ten Network and Illini legend. We'll just even if it's not your Twitter bio, it's not your Twitter bio. I'm going to say it. Howard, pleasure. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Okay, you guys enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the football this weekend as well.
See you in Indy.
Yeah, he's a tremendous legend. And I remember the only game I ever went to, a college football game before Northwestern, was an Illini game in high school. And it was against Wisconsin. It was up in at their place. Howard Griffin was on the field.
I remember doing a Northwestern-Illinois game, and Howard Griffin was running all over the Cats down in Champaign. Yeah. And we're referencing Notre Dame. His son, Houston, is a freshman for Notre Dame, in case anyone wasn't aware of
that. I should have made that more clear.
That's okay.
But, yeah. All right.
I like when they do that, the Howard and Houston. You know, I like when the family members.
The alliteration with the family. Mm-hmm. All right, the Vernon Hills High School Choir standing by for one final performance in our performance studio.